from Behind the Black, Bob Zimmerman. We're going to Hubble, the most successful of all NASA robots, except the gyroscopes are wearing down with age and with success. However, Bob, you've talked about the gyros before, something that cannot be worked around by the engineers. Right now, they have a challenge ahead of them. Three gyros. What does that mean for Hubble's capabilities?
Good evening. Yes, John. Hubble was originally given six gyroscopes. Now, to get the gyroscopes basically help point the telescope, and you want three because that gives you pointing directions in three directions, three dimensions. So if you have three gyros working, you can point the telescope with extreme precision. Of course, that's what Hubble needs because it's looking at very tiny objects that are very faint and very far away. So it's got to be able to point really accurately. And remember, it's moving 17,000 plus miles per hour in orbit around the Earth. So it's not just pointing, it's also moving as it points to stay on target. So you need at least three gyros. It was given six originally when it was launched. Those gyros have been replaced multiple times during the many maintenance missions. During the last maintenance mission in 2009, which is now, 14 years ago, they gave Hubble six new gyros all off the bat. Well, gyroscopes are moving parts, and even though the technology has improved enormously since Hubble was first launched in 1990, they still wear out. And so Hubble now has only three working gyros, the minimum number to really point precisely. One of those gyros had problems recently, and they had to take Hubble offline while they troubleshooted the problem. The good news is they have figured out what the issue is, and they figured out how to get around it so that Hubble can continue to work with three gyros. If that gyro fails, I shouldn't say if, when that gyro fails, they will go to what they call one gyro mode. They will work with only one gyroscope and hold the other working gyroscope in reserve to try to extend Hubble's life. But that means that Hubble will no longer be able to point as precisely. What it'll probably result in is either they will not be able to look at as tiny an object or the images are going to be fuzzier. And that's just the reality of the thing. We don't have a replacement for Hubble. China's got a replacement that's going to launch in 25, but there is no optical telescope in the works in the Western world anywhere to replace Hubble, and that's the unfortunate thing, John.
We go from Hubble to ISS, which is a senior figure in orbit, and right now it's celebrating an anniversary in what, 2 years, Bob? 2 years from now.
The trick here is that there's been a lot of, NASA has released a press release celebrating the 25th anniversary this week of the mating in orbit of the first two modules of ISS, the Zarya module built by Russia but paid by us, and the Unity module built by Boeing for NASA. They locked those together. So this is the 25th anniversary of ISS really becoming a station. But I don't think this is the important anniversary, and that's what you were mentioning. In 2 years will be the really important anniversary, because in 2 years, on October 31st, that's the date when the first crew lifted off to occupy ISS. And since that date, October 31st, 2000, there has been a human being in space continuously. And so to my mind, the really important anniversary is October 30th, 2000, because that's the last day that the human race did not have a person in space. And it hopefully will remain that way for the rest of human history, because even though ISS, we're talking about it deorbiting it, and we'll get to that next, there are at least four stations being built privately in the United States, and China has its station, and India and Russia want to build theirs. So the possibility of people being in space continuously for the rest of human history is pretty likely. So the real anniversary is coming, 25th anniversary is coming in 2 years, and that'll be October 30th, 2000, John.
We're looking at deorbiting ISS. What does that mean?
ISS is getting old. It's 25 years old, right? We already know that the Zvezda module, which was the third module launched, the second oldest Russian module, is serious stress fractures, and is really not a reliable module anymore. So NASA is trying to keep ISS up to at least 2030 so that those private stations can get launched. But at some point, they have to do something with it. Deorbiting is what NASA is focusing on, and so they're asking bids on companies to come up with a way to deorbit ISS. I don't know why they would just simply deorbit it. There's a lot of modules that are perfectly good. You could salvage them for other stations. But either way, NASA, what's important about this story is that NASA has now changed the contracts for the deorbit bidding. It's allowing companies to bid on the contract to do this as a cost-plus contract instead of a fixed-price contract. They'll take it either way, but no company's going to go with fixed price if they can do cost-plus, because cost-plus contracts are essentially a blank check. The company is not required to keep costs down because any overages get picked up by the government. It's been the way NASA's worked for about 30, 40 years, and it doesn't work very well.
Bob, I remember that there is interest in buying pieces of the station rather than deorbiting?
Yes. Axiom is going to launch its own modules attached to the station, and at some point it'll be independent to be able to separate from the station. And there has been talk about why not sell off some of those modules to the various other
stations. What about the solar panels? Aren't they applicable? I mean, they took all
some of this is not. I would say the solar panels would be hard because you have to transfer them and attach them to another station, and it's complicated. However, modules are a different story. You just undock them, and you can redock them to another port. We'll see how this plays out. Private companies are going to make proposals when they do this bidding. The problem I see is just that if whoever gets the contract to do it cost plus, it's going to be late and over budget, and the taxpayer will pay more than they should.
All right, we're going to the surface of Mars from the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter. What am I looking at? Oh, is this another man in the moon on Mars?
This is the famous face on Mars, but it's not a face. I call it the non-face on Mars. We've known since Mars Global Surveyor in the late 90s took a picture that this was never a face. It was just simply the shadows that made it look like a face. Well, Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter has taken another look at this non-face. The first look in 16 years. It's a high-resolution look, and it actually gives them better details in the shadowed regions they never had. It doesn't change anything. This is a mesa with erosion on the top. What's interesting is the Newton image suggests that there are glaciers on that mountain, and that's kind of interesting. It just confirms that Mars is like Antarctica. It's not a desert dry. It's a desert with lots of ice, John.
And one more, steep mountain slopes. We have time for it, Bob. Where are they?
All right, well, so this is another Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter showing the spectacular mountains that are inside Valles Marineris, the biggest canyon in the solar system. And those pictures just indicate to us how big this canyon is, because the canyon next to this mountain range would disappear on Mars, but it's comparable to the Grand Canyon on Earth.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Beyond the Black. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Branch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.